Okay, so Countrywide Health Information Systems, talking about in particular its role in having helped disease management for hypertension, particularly of those of 65 years of age or older. And I'm faculty of neonatology and also part of the Graduate School for Health Informatics at Dalhousie in Canada. And I'm a gazetted senior advisor as a volunteer in both Belize and St. Lucia. My co-author is Dr. Peter Allen, who sends his regrets. Being the chief civil servant and a Ministry of Health tears your time to shreds. And he couldn't be here, but he wanted very much to be here. So Belize, it's in Central America. It has some of these features that you can read here. Borders Guatemala chiefly and a little bit of Mexico. It's not a very big country, but it's a fairly young country. It has a lovely reef, biggest coral reef system in the Western Hemisphere, second only in size to the Great Barrier Reef in Australia. And it's a place that is ethnically very diverse for a small place. Now, Belize has something called the BHIS, which is, we believe, the first fully integrated countrywide health information system in the world. It was developed from 1998 to 2007. Deployed fully around the country starting fall of 2007 and formally inaugurated in 2008. It did require two attempts to get a countrywide integrated information system. The first was called NHISS, and that one failed. This was built under the leadership of three prime ministers and six ministers of health. This took a long time and captures now more than 93% of all health encounters of all kinds. It is a fully integrated national information system. So it's on one software platform, one hardware platform. Every citizen in the country has an electronic health record. It seamlessly supports individual and public health. It even supports things like meat inspection, water testing, and so on. And it links the government with citizens, hospitals, clinics, pharmacies, labs, everybody throughout the nation. Ensures that relevant data are immediately available everywhere out throughout the health sector. And it has been pursued and is an example of an opportunity to use evidence as a basis for managing all of healthcare. Its key areas of functionality include electronic health record and ADT, admission, discharge, transfer for hospitals, clinician order entry for those things, medical laboratory and testing. There's a financial modules, which includes human resources, maternal child health module, HIV AIDS, supply chain management and inventory control, and then the public health things that aren't directly encounter linked, like the meat inspection, water testing, and so on. To date, it's accomplished a few things, including it's simplified the vital registration through being the front end for vital statistics. It uses a menu system for being able to make use of ICD-10s. You can electronic prescriptions that are linked all the way to the warehouse supplies and pharmacies. Actually, the people that now have the contracts for supplies, for supply chain management, for all pharmaceuticals, all supplies other than capital equipment, all have to use the BHIS as the basis for submitting bids to be able to receive contracts from the government. It's an integrated warehouse for all of the healthcare data. You have record portability because it exists everywhere. So you see a clinic in the south and one day, all that data is available to the clinic in the north on the next day. Record duplication is nearly eliminated. You've got much greater control over confidentiality and meant to give a high degree of operational transparency. So no one can say or hide the fact that they've missing medicines or have stockpiled medicines. Everybody knows sort of what everybody else has got is with the appropriate authorization to look at it. And it actually is the front end for connecting for telehealth to Rochester and into Los Angeles, which are both vital for Belize. And this past spring, Vital Wave Consulting on a contract with the Gates Foundation, and for the Gates Foundation, Belize is down here at the bottom, is the only stage five health information system in the world. So what is an integrated health information system? From our perspective of having built one and deployed one, it's an electronic repository for all encounters between health professionals and citizens, and all inputs and outputs for places where encounters occur, and that it should be all on a single platform. In this case, it is. The philosophy is what we call the encounter-centric model, which is to say that the basic framework for healthcare has changed very little in the past 50 years. Only real changes in 50 years are introduction of intensive care units, introduction of emergency rooms. With those exceptions, there are little changed anywhere. And they work basically the same way all over the planet. Seven basic encounter types. We call the encounter link vital statistics, births and deaths, hospital admissions, outpatient clinic visits of all the various flavors that they are, emergency services, which includes ER, EMS response, and the transport function, pharmacy, laboratory and its variants, radiology and its variants. Now, basic HIS elements then can be constructed into a model like this. So there are seven basic encounter types, which are the circles, and there are 16 interfaces. I'm sure some of you here, like me, have spent time needing to write the code that's the interface between various of these elements and all the problems that that gives rise to. I personally wrote the code for a hospital I worked at long, long ago in the early 1980s, connection between a pharmacy system and a clinical lab, where the interface had independent update cycles on both sides of the interface so that every time one of them got updated, your interface broke and you had a new connection you had to establish, troubleshoot where the problem was, and so on. Would it be all right if I answered the questions at the end? The problem is that I put too many slides in. I'm sorry, but we'll get back to it. Now, a fully integrated information system, all these things are on one platform, can be available through a single GUI. This would be an index value of 23, including the seven basic encounter classes and all the connections between them that are logical. A fully disintegrated system can have an index value of between 0 and 7, which is to say some or maybe all of these could have an electronic system as a part of it in isolation, but they don't connect anything. In many places in the world, of course, the index is 0. They don't have any of these. They're all on paper. The core encounter relationships, you can have this index of between 0 and 23. That can be used as a basis to evaluate the degree of integration from one place to another. And that most countries in the world currently have index values of less than 5 as a country, which includes the United States, by the way. United States is between a 5 and a 7. Most of the things are not connected with a very few conspicuous exceptions, but there are only 3 countries that have index values greater than 20. Belize, the Sao Paulo area of Brazil, which is the Zilix system, and St. Lucia. I'm the chief architect and designer for the Belize and St. Lucia systems. You can use the index data as a basis for evaluating performance and how these things function. And you can look at disease management as what do you need minimally to be able to efficiently and thoroughly manage a disease. So vaccinations, if you exclude rare catastrophic events, you only need pharmacy connected to outpatient vaccinations are given. For tuberculosis, you need inpatient as well, because they're often inpatient and you got a lot of labs you got to track for whether or not they're tolerating their drugs and so on. Whereas HIV, there's an issue of PMTCT, the vertical transmission around birth, and also that you die early. So you need to have all of those. So minimum value is 13 for HIV. TB needs a minimum of 10. Vaccines need a minimum of 3. So when it's present for countries like Belize, what do you get? It automates monitoring and evaluation reports. Manual data collection virtually disappears. Data quality optimization is possible and systematic efforts to that. Special studies, it nearly eliminates the need for them and it compartmentalizes the types there are. And it makes a nation possible. They can do real disease management on all diseases. Now, whether or not you can do that, how much manpower you have to allocate to it, but it is possible. So, hypertension in Belize. In 2006, it was the third highest cause of death. It was the fourth most common reason for admission to hospital. Ministry of Health in 2001 and an updated version in 2003 basically took a CDC hypertension management protocol and a print version with a Ministry of Health stamp on it that was what was used. But compliance for patients and providers was relatively low and obviously disproportionately affects the elderly. So in late 2007, in the Belize Health Information System, we configured a disease management protocol within the information system. And it provided for blood pressure monitoring and thresholds for intervention. It had what medications were recommended for prescription and how to escalate when the first level of pharmacotherapeutics wasn't working. And then when do you send people for further workup and evaluation treatment. Now, we did it the other way around. We actually started with the Belize Medical and Dental Association and got their approval for the idea of doing that, and then went the other way around. So it started with their approval and their buy-in and their acceptance that the evidence was good enough to be able to do that. And what happened? Now, realize this for hypertension and for hypertension, this is collecting essentially all the encounters that are relevant for it. There are very few that are not here. So this is more like 98 or 99% of encounters that involve hypertension in any way. So hospital discharges from January, February 2008 in the sort of low 80s has dropped now to less than 30. And the number of clinic visits went from less than 100 to almost 400 for bimonthly periods. So that if you turn that into a ratio of how many outpatient clinic visits to how many inpatient events, it started out as about 1-to-1. And it's gone now to where it's almost 14-to-1. There are 14 clinic visits for every inpatient event for hypertension chiefly. So that the result of all that is that now in 2009, this would be the 2008 calendar year data, it's no longer in the top 10 as a cause of death. Hypertension isn't. So that it's, I think, 12th now. For age greater than or equal to 65, the admission rate since 2006, annualized admission rate, has dropped more than 70%. And that the compliance with pharmaceutical elements of the disease management process for the providers is more than 90% compliant, and for patients is more than 94% compliant. They're getting their prescriptions filled, getting them refilled on time. So that we're now actually at a point where Belize hypertension is going into its 2.0 version from 1.5, the previous iteration, which was deemed brilliantly successful. And a couple of other things that's worth pointing out with that. It avoids hospitalizations, I think, is a pretty clear evidence there. And that the clinicians have avoided the issue of a rising number of hospitalizations in this population. This is managed as an outpatient and not so catastrophically. They're not dying at the same rates as before. And that the switch from more inpatient management to outpatient management has had a fairly dramatic effect on aggregate healthcare expense for government of Belize. This alone, age 65 and older, hypertension, just that, has resulted in a drop in the aggregate healthcare budget for the nation of 0.5% alone, just that. So systematic disease management, it requires an integrated health information system, but you have to use the data as evidence to intervene to do something. It was that, the clinician saying, we agree and we'll accept the use of this in this way, that's really made it possible. So the physicians agreed in advance that this was okay to do it this way, and that it has been built with the perspective of this is intended to support the physicians. That's the point. It isn't to offer a critique to say you're doing the wrong thing. Patients are also aware that this is what we're doing, so that there isn't a gap there. Spending a lot of time and effort to make sure that the privacy and confidentiality issues are maintained while you have these feedback loops. And we're learning how to do that. Countrywide disease management programs are a new thing. This may be among the very first. And that using both the presence and absence of encounters, like for example, a prescription not filled is an absence of an encounter, is data that can be converted to information that's a basis for both clinical and administrative interventions. So I would submit the following, that the hypertension management in Belize has been a dramatic success in an important chronic non-communicable disease, and that the BHIS was a big piece of what made it possible to do this at all. But a couple of other things. It isn't the only thing that sort of sticks out as this looks like this is a good idea. And just a couple of other things while I have 4 minutes left. Aggregate pharmaceutical expense for the country from 2007-08 year to 2008-09 fell by more than 10%, or more than 8%. Now, I've looked at such data as I can find from 200 other countries, and best I can tell, it's the only country in the world that that's the case. It went down despite increased utilization. Adverse reactions to pharmaceuticals in hospitals for most places is you're getting a medicine a second time that you've already had an adverse reaction to it before, allergy, so on. But in Belize, that's almost disappeared. You've gone from a level of sort of this many, including some deaths, down to one or two a quarter in Belize. And there are quite a few hospitals in Belize that they could have them. More than 90% reduction. We did a sampling of these to find out, were these first reactions? And now, for fourth quarter 08, first quarter 09, it's all first reactions. Not a single individual got a second or multiple with medicine that they had had a reaction to in the past. Prevention of mother-to-child transmission. Now, this is kind of complicated from an informatics point of view. You got a lot to keep track of. Make sure that you're given voluntary testing and counseling and ARTs before and after delivery. But from a point back in 2002 where it's almost not done at all to now where it's done essentially for all of them. There's a handful of women every year that cross the border from Guatemala, get no prenatal care at all or HIV positive, and they weren't ever a part of the system until delivery. Those are the only ones now that don't have all of this maintained, with the result that vertical transmission is about as low as you can make it. Now the reference, of course, is no PMTCT, breastfeeding, 20 to 45% vertical transmission. Babies delivered to those mothers will get HIV. If you have full PMTCT and no breastfeeding at all, it goes down to between 2 and 4%. And for the last period in Belize, where we have enough time to know that the babies haven't gotten it, we're down to 3.8% in Belize, one of the very few countries in the world that's achieved that. Now, when can you have an integrated information system? Some observations for what it's worth. I've put this in a couple of countries now. Without senior leadership being strongly supportive, doesn't happen, waste of time. You need very few political cycles. Each political cycle is a reason for the whole thing to come to a stop for a while. After an election, everything goes cold. It might warm up again, and it took enormous effort for some of us to keep it turning over in Belize. It'd be better if it were grant funded in these small countries rather than loans or coming out of their main budget, and at least 2 years of it would be better. Your IT staff needs to be dedicated to this and nothing else. And I'm just about out of time. So clinicians, some of this is clinicians need to be involved. If they're not using it clinically, the quality of the clinical data isn't high enough that you can use it for disease management. And that in evaluating the likelihood that an intervention of a countrywide integrated information system is going to work at all, administrative use is the first thing when an information system goes in. It's tracking registrations, hospitalizations, and so on, when the clinician use is relatively minor. There's a point at which the clinicians start using it and start using it a lot, and its use exceeds the administrative use. We've called that the M threshold for lack of a better term for it. But it seems that that's the point where it's the key difference. And that over time, if you get to a point where actually the slope of clinician use tapers off, and then it's driven by clinicians who are just new to the system, just starting up, starting to put it into their practice, and changes in the epidemiology of disease. Otherwise, this is the slope of more and more clinicians incorporating it into their practice. So the notion behind that is the quicker you get clinicians to use it, the more likely it'll stay. Predominance of clinician use is better, so faster, clinician use, using it more quickly. But at the end of the day, it's about using the system, not about the system itself. System on disks in a box isn't worth anything. And I'm out of time. So just one last thing. We had a conference a couple weeks ago, week and a half ago. And it was in Belize, and it was a whole bunch of countries coming to see how the Belize information system worked. It was sponsored by Health Metrics Network, PAHO, an organization of Eastern Caribbean states, and unique in my experience, they came together as fairly senior people for these ministries of health in all these countries and said, we resolve that we want to all have integrated health information systems. And these countries all decided that they wanted to do that, thought this was a good idea, which was an astonishing thing and I think historic. I don't think it ever happened before. But it's about, in the end, serving the people. It isn't about systems or data. That's all I have. Sorry, I'm 1 minute over.
Thank you very much, Michael. We have a few questions already. We have one back there.
Belize is a country where essentially all of the health is delivered by the government. There is a very small private sector, but it's for the most part a part of it as well. This is an important question. Could I paraphrase, give it a try? He was saying, that's fine for Belize. What about a country with many millions, you know, the 35 million in Canada or India? What about the issues that go with scaling it up to that? And I can quickly answer it sort of in two parts. One is, I've just about killed myself to get this to happen in Belize and St. Lucia, and for PMTCT alone in Ethiopia. I mean, actually, quite literally, almost killed myself. And as a volunteer, it's taken about every spare penny and actually a few pennies that weren't spare. So my wife thinks my hobby of doing this, like my presence here today, which is a volunteer mission, she thinks it's crazy, but she accepts that I think it's really important. So scaling it up, it hasn't been done. Could it be done? I believe yes, but the issues for how to do that include a couple of compartments that are real important. One of them is the model in Belize isn't how healthcare is run in lots of other parts of the world. Private sector is bigger. It has a greater degree of autonomy. So you have a different problem that goes with putting this into the private sector than in the public sector, and whether it would be allowed by law. And there are parts of the world where currently the law would not allow it. You'd need to actually change the law to make it possible. But even beyond that, the key thing is that this, I think, is what everybody ought to do. And I say that without any, I mean, I recognize that I have a bias in doing that. I have really worked hard to make this one work. And it was really hard to do. And there was a lot of stuff that are tricks in how you get this to actually work, that there's no time to, I could talk all day, and I haven't even scratched the surface. I've tried a number of other ways, some ways that don't work. I don't have the skill with coding to write all the code myself, for example. But I still think at the end of the day, it's the right idea. You can model some issues of scalability by, you know, contracting with companies that can put it on 1,000 servers as a model, but that isn't the real problem. Problem is with people.
There's one quick intervention,
yeah,
and then.
I just add one point. Architecturally, I was at the meeting. My name is Stephen English. I'm with the Health Ventures Network at Geneva. And I was at the meeting 2 weeks ago in Belize and had an opportunity to look at the system and see the operation and also spend a significant amount of time with the developers behind this. Architecturally, there is a vision to scale this. So, from an IT standpoint, the issue that, you know, Belize is a very small, humble country with only 300,000 people, and, you know, it was built for a country of that size, isn't the case. Architecturally, the system could be scaled and be there for you know, implementations that are much larger. But to sort of resonate with Michael's point, many countries don't have like necessarily the legislative infrastructure or legislative arrangements, so that even a lot of the ways that Belize approaches their health information system solution could work. But it's certainly a model that would be very, very interesting to look at, an architectural model in terms of the way it was built. Belize is an interesting case because they have a lot of hurricanes, and you know that actually drove the architecture of the system. So it's not a central model like the one in Sao Paulo. It's actually a highly distributed model. And the fact that the highly distributed nature of the system has been really well addressed at the forefront means that there's a lot of possibilities to scale.
5 major hurricanes, and it was never down even for a minute.
So because I don't want to run into the next session too much, What I'd like to do, I saw about four hands that looked excited. Take four very short comments, and then maybe Michael, you can address them. Just very quickly. Don't run away.
I'm very aware that I'm over time.
We had a comment. People raised their hands who wanted to speak. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, and go ahead.
Forgive me if I missed this because I came in late, but how much effort did you put into the commission's requirements so that you can ensure they could find value in using the system?
Michael will repeat all of the questions.
Sorry.
Except that one.
I was distracted by my watch. I'm sorry. Please.
We're going to take all the questions first.
Oh, okay.
Right. I wanted to know if you have publications online that would describe this more extensively.
Hey, publications online?
That describe this extensively.
Yeah.
Way impressed, and same question, but also roughly an idea of the administrative cost of the overhead.
And Joseph?
I just want to know if all the system is running real time and do you try to apply principal fashion into the such as a any base?
Real time and point of care.
Okay. How about if I go in the reverse order? Yes, it's real time and it is point of care, essentially in all elements of it. Like very rarely there's a backlog of key punch that needs to be done when a clinic gets busy because they're about taking care of patients. But it's basically real time, so it's live all the time. The administrative overhead, it's four FTEs in Belize that are badly overworked and badly underpaid. They did get a raise just a couple of weeks ago, but it's still criminally, they are not adequately paid for what they do, but they are deeply committed. I mean, to say that they're dedicated it's way over the top. And if it wasn't for them, this wouldn't have been possible either. And would like to point out Ian Smith in Belize knows more about running a countrywide integrated information system than anybody on the planet. And he's happy to share his insights. He is a genius level operator and be able to keep this all knitted together to not piss off doctors, to make it always on the positive side. I mean, he's inspired. He's also a world-class bicyclist. I mean, sort of Olympic quality bicyclist. Publications, I've been doing it, and I do 100-hour weeks routinely. The publications sadly lack. It's a system error on my part. I apologize for that. I should have been doing more of that, but it's all I can do to keep up with what I got. The clinicians were vitally involved, starting with me. I mean, as the chief designer, I'm a clinician. As a neonatologist, you know, we're data-intensive clinician, so hospital-based intensivist. So we need everything and right away. So that was the perspective that drove it. But it used the technique called JAD, Joint Application Development, and the physician community was a vital part of it in all of its elements. So yes, without that, it wouldn't have been possible. And many tricks for making that work right. Just for physicians, for example, there were existing forms that they had that collected all the data that you wanted for a particular activity. So you make the screens look just like the forms. Did that for data clerks and on, right? You use all the tricks.
There we are.
Great. Sorry.
Thank you very much.
And that's yours.